Well, good morning, church. If you would open your Bibles to Psalm 109 for our public scripture reading this morning, Psalm 109. And in this imprecatory psalm, David is being attacked by evil men, men who are known not by their love and their good works, but known by their persecution of the innocent and of the righteous. And accordingly, David prays for God to pour out divine judgment upon his wicked accusers. But alongside these imprecations of David, Psalm 109 sets forth at least four different standards that govern imprecatory prayer, four tests, if you will, that we must pass before seeking divine judgment from God to be poured out upon his enemies. And I've attempted to alliterate a little bit here to help them stick in your head a little bit easier. So each of these tests ends with a word that begins with the letter L. Firstly, have you been loving? Second, has the evil reached an appropriate level? Third, have you been long-suffering? And fourth, have you determined to appeal only to the Lord? Let's begin by considering our first test. Have you been loving? Look with me to verse 4. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. Literally, I am prayer. So they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. And this is the common experience of true Christians in every age. They return love for false accusations. They return good for evil. And this was David's experience. He had loved these wicked men, yet they never responded in kind. We read in verse 3 that they encircled David with words of hate and attacked him without cause. And David's first response, his most natural instinct, was to give himself to prayer. And in the context of this first stanza, David's prayers almost certainly included requests that God would be merciful to his enemies, that he might turn them from their wicked ways. And we must likewise love our enemies. We must pray for those who persecute us. We must seek their good before we ever seek their judgment, remembering that love covers a multitude of sins. Now, the second test of imprecatory prayer given to us in this psalm, has the evil reached an appropriate level? Look to verse 16. Speaking specifically of the ringleader of these wicked accusers, David says this, "For he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy and the brokenhearted to put them to death." The attacks of David's enemies were not limited to David alone, and they were not limited to verbal slander alone. These wicked accusers were persecuting others who were also poor and needy and brokenhearted. They were seeking to kill them. They were seeking to put them to death. The evil that David is addressing in his imprecations is an evil that is deep as well as wide. David isn't praying for God's curse to fall upon someone who called him a bad name or stole his parking space. He's seeking divine judgment on men who were pursuing the poor and needy and the brokenhearted to put them to death. The evil that he was enduring, it had reached an appropriate level for imprecatory prayer. This leads to the third test that you must pass before seeking divine judgment from God. Have you been long-suffering? Look with me to verse 24. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. David has been enduring the persecution of his enemies for quite some time, so much so that his body has grown weak from fasting. He's lost a lot of weight. He's gaunt. He's wasting away, as it were. And David has been so long-suffering in giving himself to prayer and fasting during these persecutions that not only is his heart stricken within him, like we read in verse 22, he's also physically degrading. And David did not seek divine judgment at the first sign of persecution. As a man after God's own heart, David was long-suffering with his enemies. His knees were weak from fasting and prayer. And we likewise must be long-suffering with those who would seek to persecute us. Finally, the fourth test that you must pass before seeking divine judgment. Have you determined to appeal only to the Lord? Look with me to verse 26. Help me, O Lord my God, Save me according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. And David is clearly dependent upon God alone for deliverance. He's not pacifying his conscience by saying a little prayer and then going out and taking vengeance into his own hands. Rather, he is depending upon God to act. He knows that God has said, "Vengeance is mine." And David is not going to rob God of his vengeance. He wants God to be glorified in his deliverance. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. And we must seek divine judgment in this same way, being determined to leave vengeance to the Lord, coming to grips with the reality that he must act, and resigning ourselves to the fact that God may choose to delay his vengeance until the age to come. We must be okay with that. We do not have the liberty to take vengeance into our own hands if God chooses to delay his judgment on evildoers. We must seek divine judgment, knowing that the judge of all the earth will do what is right. Well, before we read, I want us to note that Psalm 109, it finds its ultimate fulfillment in the divine cursing of Judas Iscariot. Look to verse 8. May his days be few, may another take his office. And this verse is quoted in Acts chapter 1 as the apostles are casting lots to fill the vacant seat left by Judas after he had betrayed our Lord. And so the ringleader of these wicked men in Psalm 109, he is a shadow of Judas, just as David, the man who's being persecuted to death here, is a shadow of Christ. Now, if you remember in Matthew chapter 26, Christ issues himself an imprecation against Judas. Verse 24, "The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him if he had never been born." The most loving, the most long-suffering man who has ever lived pronounced God's woe and God's judgment upon his persecutor. We may be uncomfortable with this sort of language, and we often are. In addressing the hesitancy and the raised eyebrows that often accompany the reading of imprecatory prayers in the scriptures, one commentator says this: "We pray rightly with a glad heart for the second coming of the Lord Jesus, but we would hesitate to frame our prayer in the terms of the scriptural realities of that event by asking for flaming fire to consume those who do not obey the gospel. If we were holier, and certainly if we were less comfortable and knew more of the persecutor's power, we would more readily identify with the imprecations in Scripture than condemn them." So saints, let us not shy away from using the imprecatory language of Scripture in our prayers, but as we do so, may we be careful to emulate our most loving and long-suffering Savior who prayed for his enemies, who endured great evil, who was patient in suffering, and who entrusted himself completely to God. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Psalm 109. Hear the word of God. To the choir master, a psalm of David. "Be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. So they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man against him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few. May another take his office. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg, seeking food far from the ruins they inhabit. May the creditor seize all that he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his toil. Let there be none to extend kindness to him, nor any to pity his fatherless children. May his posterity be cut off. May his name be blotted out in the second generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. For he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy and the brokenhearted to put them to death. He loved to curse. Let curses come upon him. He did not delight in blessing. May it be far from him. He clothed himself with cursing as his coat. May it soak into his body like water, like oil into his bones. May it be like a garment that he wraps around him, like a belt that he puts on every day. May this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, of those who speak evil against my life. But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. I am gone like a shadow at evening. I'm shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you will bless. They arise and are put to shame, but your servant will be glad. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak. With my mouth, I will give great thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throng, for he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save him from those who condemn his soul to death. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy and infallible word. You may be seated.